Produced by Jeffrey Grisellius, Preston Frazier, Bill Govier, V.R. Hoisington and Wayne Hall. This is Yes Music Podcast episode 366. Some rather unusual Yes and Yes-related items we got for Christmas.
This is Bill Bruford, the ever-enthusiastic young drummer from the group Yes, and you're listening to the Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 366 of the Yes Music Podcast, two fans' exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine, and co-host Mark Anthony Kay will be along a little bit later on. You can always get involved with the podcast via the various different ways on the site, yesmusicpodcast.com. This week, Mark and I look through and laugh quite a bit about some of the Yes and Yes-related items we received around Christmas time. I managed to find a couple of highly obscure items I never imagined I would own, so I do get a bit excited, as you'll hear. As I'm sure you know, the YMP patron community has kicked off for 2019 with the draw for the first book giveaway taking place next week. Simon Barrow's Solid Mental Grace, Listening to the Music of Yes, is up for grabs, and that's what we will be reading in February. We also released our first video mini-episode, which we hope to make a regular weekly event. You still have time to get involved with the activities in the Patreon group before the book club, so for full details, head over to patreon.com, patreon.com/yesmusicpodcast, or click the button on yesmusicpodcast.com. On Facebook this week, Forgotten Yesterdays shared a retrospective review of Rick Wakeman's musical endeavours before joining Yes, and Preston Frazier posted his Best of 2018 list. Our very own Mark Anthony Kay's album was placed very highly on the Prog Mill 2018 chart, so well done to him, and thanks to you if you voted for that. Daniel Crone added his latest Fantasy Yes album for your consideration, and YMP interviewee John Holden asked for your support in the Prog Magazine Reader's Poll. In the Visitor Posts, Jeffrey Mason shared a couple of great updates with us, namely the Tony Kay Shine on Hollywood interview and an article about Rick Wakeman's film music. Adrian Bell encouraged us to listen to his latest episode of The Progressive Alternative, which features Beginnings by Steve Howe. And over on Twitter, very brief highlights included Dave Owen being persuaded by Mark's enthusiasm to listen to some Peter Banks material, which he likes very much. And our friends over at Progressive Palaver were very kind to mention both Mark's Project Gemini and the YMP in their recent mailbag show. They've invited Mark and me to join them in 2019 to talk about Tomato. They know how to push my buttons. Many fascinating tweets came from Simon Barrow's Solid Mental Grace account. Do follow that if you like in-depth musical analysis of Yes and other cerebral matters. I received a lovely voicemail from Andrew Petty this week, and here he is.
Hi, my name's Andrew Petty. I live in the UK. I first came across Yes in about 1970-71. And have followed them ever since. Last year, 2018, I saw ARW, and the previous year did a meet and greet, so finally got to see John Anderson. I've just come across your website by pure accident. Somebody had posted about Igor Stravinsky, so I watched him do a conduction of his Firebird Suite, or the last few pieces of that. So I'm going to sign up for your podcast. I find it unbelievable, the amount of information that goes on about those splendid guys. And yeah, I've seen the version with John Davidson as well. You know, it's just a wonderful experience to be involved and have these guys in my life for such and such a long time. Back in the day, saw them oh so many times. When Tales was launched, I remember going to see them. Nobody had heard the albums. And basically, whenever they're in the UK, go and see them. I really, really, really would love to see them in America. I had tickets once, but the show got cancelled. So hoping to go over and see them again. So look forward to seeing your website. As I say, my name is Andrew Petty. I'm from the UK. I've followed the band for, what are we now, 50 years. So, yeah, coming up. Anyway, all the best. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Andrew. It's great to meet you, and I hope you enjoy listening to the YMP. Craig Tearing got in touch as well this week to encourage us to listen to a YouTube recording of a show from the Open Your Eyes tour. He says, I recently discovered a set of concerts that have been remastered by a YouTube user named Southside of the Sky, and particularly enjoyed what he's done with the Open Your Eyes tour from 97 to 98. His method is to choose various cuts from the tour, make them sound amazing, and put them in set list order. This tour featured the six-member Yes with the addition of Billy Sherwood, and the vocals are amazing. Additionally, this tour really shows what a great addition Igor Khoroshev was to the band. I would submit that this one was one of the best live versions of Yes that I've ever heard over the past 40 years. I also would suggest that after Wakeman and Mraz, Khoroshev is the best touring keyboardist. He also played the Gates of Delirium during the Masterworks tour of 2000. This, of course, is not to discount Jeff Downes' work on the topographic drama Live Across America album, where he finally gets the accolades he deserves. So many thanks, Craig. I will indeed take a listen, and I've put that link to the video in the show notes for this episode. So many thanks to everyone who got in touch this week in any way.
I've heard all Yes Music podcasts every week. I love to hear what Kevin says. I've heard all Yes Music podcasts every week. I love to hear what Kevin says.
So for our first audio episode, actually, we'll come back to the video in a minute, but for our first audio episode, we've got, oh, well, at least I've got a huge stack, probably heard them there, a huge stack of Yes things for Christmas. And as I said, I think on Instagram, I've got an awful lot of things this Christmas. But then again, if I think back over 2018, I was a very good boy. So all year. So I think Father Christmas knows that and has brought me lots and lots of different things, which we'll have a look through. And we'll spend a little time on some of them and just skip over quite a few of the others. So I'm here with Mark to start off 2019 on the Yes Music Podcast. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Kevin. How are you doing?
Not too bad, thank you. So, yes, this, I think, episode is definitely only for the five presenters, because it's the five presenters who will appreciate my excitement about some of these items. Now, if you are already one of our patrons, then you will have possibly seen the video version of this episode, which we put up last night. It's a shorter version than we're going to do in the audio version, but it does allow you to see a few of the items. And the items that I'm going to talk about today, and Mark's going to talk about as well, will be available on the show notes for this episode in pictorial form. So I'm going to put a slideshow on there of all the different things that I've got, some of which I really am, as I said, you can probably hear it in my voice, very excited about. So let's see what I've got then. So the funny thing about Yes, when you search for Yes items, and I don't know if you've found this with other bands, Mark, and the three sites that I generally tend to use now are Discogs, which I've started using very recently, and eBay and Amazon. And you can find all manner of different things, which have clearly been, as we've talked about before, have been individual companies who've just bought the rights to release some of this stuff. And so you do get such a wide variety of various things. Is that the same with other bands?
Yeah, I find it with some as well. I mean, there's some bands where you see they have releases that look sort of odd, that look borderline official, you know, just hindering on that counterfeit sort of side of things. But I think it mainly happens with bands that have like that kind of, you know, stature where they're, you know, like the Hall of Fame kind of bands that have already, you know, been around for 30 plus years. Yeah. That usually seem to fall in that category. I don't see very many new bands falling into that category. But yeah, a lot of those ones like Black Sabbath and Pink Floyd and, you know, all these other bands, you see these kind of releases that come out like Kiss or Rush and all these other bands where it's like you can tell that somebody might have went in and invested a little bit to make their own version of a release.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. And I'm just listening this week, in fact, I heard on a podcast that I listened to that apparently there's lots more public domain in America. Lots of public domain, lots of works of art have now come into the public domain in sort of a new batch of them. So there's lots and lots of there. And you can go back and just release those. You can, you know, books and music and so on. You can just make your own version and release those. And in a way, I'm sure these are not quite that. They're not quite public domain. But certainly there are some pretty good anomalies that we'll come to and some very funny ones in a minute. So let's just skip through these first ones that I've got then. So I've got two DVDs. And as I say, go and have a look at the photographs of these on the show notes for this week. And the first one's called Inside Yes, 1968 to 1973, an independent critical review featuring live archive footage previously unavailable on DVD. Right, okay. So it's a reasonably produced package, which I won't go on at length about, but I get the feeling that this is very similar to, or actually possibly the same material as the, just having a look at it, the Total Rock review of Yes. It might not be, yet to put it on. But interestingly, inside, you'll see that this is a part of a series called Inside the Music on CD.
Yes.
And DVD. Oh, you know, that's great. So you've got, exactly as we were just saying, bands like Genesis, Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, Thin Lizzy, Supertramp, Free, Black Sabbath. So this is a series of different DVDs on those types of bands. So is that one you've heard of?
Yeah. In fact, I have the Genesis one of that. I thought it was actually pretty good. I'm not sure how the Yes one is because I don't have that one. But they seem pretty decent. They go through stuff album by album, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Okay. Interesting, though, it's just 68 to 73 that they mention on there. And also, I had a look at the so-called experts that they, the critical team. And I don't think I recognize any of those names. Anyway, that'll be very interesting to see what that's about. So the second one is called Rock of the 70s. And it's got a lovely original Yes logo that the Yes Music Podcast logo is based on, in gold on a white background. And all it is, I just fancied it, to be honest, all it is those four films that we've talked about quite recently, actually. Astral Traveller, Everydays, Then, and No Opportunity Necessary, No Experience Needed. So particularly interesting with Yes threatening to play some of that live this year. But that's just a little collection of those four films, which I'm very glad to have because I don't have them all, I don't think, certainly not in this format. And the nice thing about that collection is that it's got some stills from those crazy antics of driving in the car and falling off the side and being chased by nuns and all that sort of stuff. Great anarchic fun in those earliest days of Steve Howe being on there, if you remember, despite the fact that he's not on any of the music, he's in all the videos. And nice to see that in 2009, the sleeve notes were written by our friend John Kirkman. So at least that gives it a little bit of a feeling of authenticity.
Yes.
And straight on then to Anderson, Bruford, Wakeman, Howe. Now, I've got a little collection of ABWH stuff, but one which I saw, I think Keith Hoisington had it on his amazing Facebook group, which unfortunately is now being closed down, but he was posting one item, as you know, per day for the whole, or at least one item per day for the whole of the 50th anniversary year of 2018. And one of the things I think I saw on there was that you can get an ABWH remastered and expanded version of their album. So it's actually got two discs. It's rather nice. And on that second disc, so it's the normal stuff on disc one, but on the second disc, you've got Order of the Universe, Brother of Mine, Vultures in the City, which is that slightly obscure song, Quartet, I'm Alive, Order of the Universe, and Brother of Mine again. And we've got the, so this is a collection of the things that we talked about, you and I, on the singles programs that we did. Long edit, CD single edit, short edit, all that sort of thing. So I'm quite pleased to have, you know, an official release, as it were, of that collection.
Is that the one with there's also a Rick Wakeman thing in there where he talks about something in there?
Oh, no, now you've set me off again. I'll have to try and find that. No, this is just those two discs. Oh, no, what's that? I'll have to get hold of that.
I have an ABWH album on two discs too, and it has something very similar to that where it has all those other cuts on there, but it also has at the very beginning him just talking like maybe 35 seconds about something in regards to ABWH.
Well, I have to see if that's on there. I don't think it is. But anyway, it's a lovely, lovely package with that fantastic Dean cover. Mm-hmm. Okay, so skipping quickly on. Something you may have seen on Instagram is I've got this rather weird cassette of Tormato, which is, I think, something like a Saudi Arabian copy. And I don't think it's entirely official, if you know what I mean. So it's a cassette which looks like it was made in 1978, and not necessarily bootleg, but I think it's a fairly unofficial copy, certainly. And then to embellish my my already growing, not huge yet, Tormato collection. And then, Yes Family Tree. So this is one of those collection DVDs of Yes and members and all sorts of different things that they have done. And this one contains quite a bit of the BBC recordings. But then it's also got fascinating things. And I listened to the first disc of this, and then that set me off on a quest for something else. So the first disc has got Lay Lady Lay, that's Steve Howe and John Anderson, from that thing they did, Portraits of Bob Dylan.
Mm.
And that's quite interesting, especially as I don't think John Anderson's on that. So I'll listen again, but I was listening to that and I was thinking, that's not John Anderson singing. So there could be a problem there. Anyway, Adam Wakeman for playing What Roundabout from the Revealing Songs of Yes. And then this next one is the one that really set me off on a different course, as I say. It's Loyal, it's called, and it's a song by White, from what they say on the back of here is the White album. And it's not, I think it's just called White, actually. It's not called the White album at all. But anyway, there are other things on there by Asia and Rick Wakeman, Merlin the Magician, for example. Rock and Roll Dreams, Icon. So the Icon is Jeff Downes, isn't it, with... who's that with? Icons with...
John Wetton?
Yeah, John Wetton, that's right. And all sorts of other things on there, and it's an interesting collection if you like those sorts of things. But it did set me off on a renewed quest for that White album. And if you don't know about White, I didn't, much to my shame, I didn't know about White particularly. I knew it from the front cover, which is one of the most beautiful Roger Dean front covers that there possibly could be, with the... It's a sort of snowy scene, isn't it, with floating rocks and beautiful trees and things. It's really, really lovely. But this was the band which was clearly created by Alan White and includes Jeff Downes on keyboards and Steve Boyce on basses and vocals and Carl, what's that, Haug? Is that how you pronounce his name? Haug? On guitars and vocals,
so.
And Kevin Curry on vocals and, of course, Alan White on drums and percussion. And when I heard on that Yes Family Tree album that song, Loyal, I had to go and get myself a copy of this because I was really, really impressed with that. Now, I know you've got a copy, haven't you, Mark?
No, actually, I don't have a copy of that, but I've been searching high and low for it. I've been finding it quite difficult actually to hunt one down. Whenever they've mentioned it on Amazon.ca, I'm always excited, and then all of a sudden they'll say it's out of stock. So I'm like,
right.
Oh boy. So I'm always trying to find a copy of it.
Oh, okay. But you've heard some of the songs from it.
Oh yeah, I've heard there's stuff on YouTube from it. So but yeah. I've heard it quite a few of it and songs from it, and it's very good actually.
Yeah, I think there's as usual there's a certain amount of debate out there when I've mentioned it, and people have said it's fantastic, and there's not a duff track on it, and other people have said that they were only interested in about two or three of the songs. So I think it's one that we'll definitely come back to on the show and talk about in depth after I've had a chance to listen to it. I was just looking at the special thanks to section of the sleeve notes here, which includes one Henry Potts. So that's rather nice. I wonder what he had to do with that. Perhaps we can find out. And then finally of the ones... No, I'm going to skip through about three more because I've got lots. There's another compilation, which is Yes and Friends, apparently the essential elements. So imagine all the members of Yes and everything that Yes has done over the years. And what do you think might be the essential elements? Well, would you say that From the Balcony is an essential element of Yes? Would you say that John Anderson's 1998 remake of Owner of a Lonely Heart is an essential element? I'm not sure. Mm. Anyway, it's an interesting selection, obviously done, I would say, at the time of Open Your Eyes and, yeah, that sort of thing, and Ladder. I think it's around that sort of time because it's got things like Lightning Strikes and Time is Time, interestingly, the John Anderson version of that. Yours is No Disgrace, Live, etc. So that'll be an interesting one to look through as well, but I'm not going to spend any more time on that. And the last two things that, again, if you're a patron and you've already seen me looking at very intently, two items that I got from Japan. So I've got a 7-inch of Owner of a Lonely Heart with some lovely Japanese writing on that. And then particularly we spent some time looking at and thinking about Tormato. So I've got a Japanese version of that with this thing which you explained to us, Mark, on the video. So if you can explain again very briefly about this obi strip. So it seems that everything you get from Japan, not only records actually, not only DVDs, etc., have this thing called, they call the obi strip. So tell us about that.
Well, the obi strip is essentially a piece of information for the Japanese owner, because as we explained in the video, the problem with that Japan had with its album releases was that a lot of the times when a record would be coming out, like say for example Tormato, the import version to them, like let's say the US pressing of it, will come out earlier before the Japanese one comes out. So in order to compete with it and make it worth people buying the Japanese version, they would always include some sort of extra inside, whether it's a poster or a sticker or something different from the US version. And the obi strip there is used to tell the people what is inside it, what the extra is, or why you would have to buy this one. Yeah. Like maybe there's a bonus track included, or there's a sticker or a poster inside there. So that's how they, that's why they used this obi strip.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll see that. I mean, that's, you know, instantly when you're scrolling through, like me, sadly, late at night, the listings on Amazon or eBay, and you can spot those German releases instant, sorry, German, Japanese releases instantly from the fact that they've got this obi strip on them. But someone, actually, Joost Maglev, came back to us on the Patreon discussion about the video that we put out and told us a bit more about this obi strip. So he says the term obi not only applies to the strip on CDs and records, but also to the band that's traditionally worn over a kimono. So I thought that was fascinating. So I wonder how it got, you know, came to be used as a strip on a record or a CD or whatever, when it was originally an actual sash sort of thing, I suppose, over a kimono. So if you know more about that, then do let us know. And particularly if you have some Japanese items that I know Joost has, and he's going to send us along some photographs of those. If you have any favourite, yes, Japanese items, then do send them in via photograph to show at yesmusicpodcast.com or any other way you'd like to get it, those to us, that'd be fantastic. All right, so that's my first little selection. I'm going to come back to three, I think, very much more interesting things that I managed to get this Christmas. But let's go over to you, Mark, because I know that you got hold of some Rick Wakeman stuff, didn't you?
Yeah, I got a few things too. Not on Christmas Day exactly, but they came in afterwards, but that's still fine because I was, you know, I kind of look at them as Christmas presents. And before I get to them, just one other quick thing of the importance of these Japanese pressings is, for example, I have a Japanese pressing of Going for the One, which I'll give you a picture of for the site. And on there, it had information regarding that pressing saying that it was, in fact, a Japanese promo pressing. Now, I would have never have known that unless my friend, who's a good friend of mine who's from Japan, I showed him the obi and he read it to me and he asked me if I realized that it was a Japanese promo pressing.
Right.
I said no. And see, it's those kind of things that you might miss, right?
Yeah.
If you don't find out about these things through the obi strip. Mm. Now, so what I got for Christmas was a few Rick Wakeman related pressings. On the video that we did for Patreon, I showed two of them, which was the Criminal Record album.
Yeah.
One was a white label promo US copy, which I'm very happy because, as you guys know, I'm a big hunter for these white label promo copies of Rick Wakeman's albums. And I also have a Canadian promo copy as well, which was far easier to find for some reason, but yet overall in the hunting scheme of things is much more difficult to find.
Right.
So that was interesting. Another thing that I got as well was I finally got myself a very nice white label pressing of No Earthly Connection, which is one of my more favorite Rick Wakeman albums.
Yeah.
The only thing that I wasn't able to get, which saddens my heart, because I've been searching for this item inside this record and I can never find it, is that it usually came with this little tinfoil piece of paper. Right. And if you would wrap it around this little thing, and if you put the album cover straight up, it would give you this weird image of Rick Wakeman.
Yeah.
Reflected off of it.
Yes, I've seen online. Yes.
Yeah, and nobody seems to have a copy of it, at least I could find online, that actually has that original piece.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would be lovely.
Yeah. Well, Criminal Record is actually one of the few Rick Wakeman albums that I can get on with. But I do like that very much. It's really one of his stronger ones, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think that actually that probably is one of the last great Wakeman albums. And I also attribute that to the fact that, once again, you have Chris Squire and Alan White appearing on it.
That's right.
So that also helps. I mean, they also appeared on Six Wives, which made that album absolutely fantastic. I think it's probably his best solo record that he's made.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got those things. And the one last thing that I got, which these records, funny enough, are the ones that I find a great deal of difficulty getting, because it was in the era where they started slowing down with the vinyl versions of these records. He kind of stuck with CD more. And that as he went into this phase in the 80s where he started doing these New World ambient sort of albums. And there was a whole series of them, like Night Airs, Country Airs, Sea Airs. And I got finally a nice UK pressing of Sea Airs on vinyl.
Right.
It's on President Records, which is his own label, I believe. And it's part of the Rick Wakeman New Age collection, how they nicely have it printed on the side of the album here.
That would make me run the other way very quickly if anything said New Age, I can tell you.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it is one of those records where if you're doing like office work and you need something to listen to that's not going to distract you from what you're doing, it's perfect, those albums. Because it's essentially just him on piano playing a bunch of different, you know, self-written songs. And they're not bad. I mean, I've always said Rick Wakeman's strongest instrument, in my opinion, is his piano playing. So there's nothing wrong with listening to that. And that was one that I wanted. I'm still on the hunt for Night Airs. I have Country Airs, but I need the Night one to complete it. And I'm still hunting for other albums, but I'm pleased to have gotten those to add to my collection.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Fantastic stuff. So let us know if you have any of those or any more interesting versions of those Rick Wakeman records as well. All right, then. So I'm just going to go through these three items, which I think are really, really very interesting. And two of them, not the third, certainly, but two of them I'm amazed that I managed to get hold of. So if you think back to when we were discussing the singles, the Yes singles, and it was, you know, during our epic Yes singles episodes, and some would say too epic. But anyway, what we found was Magnification, and Magnification didn't really have any singles in the same sense. So there was a free download to commemorate those who lost their lives in 9/11, but there weren't any official real single releases as such. However, there was a thing called the Yes Symphonic EP. And when we spoke to Bob Seska, of course, he did the artwork for these things. And his is the front cover of this Yes Symphonic EP. And this was only available on later dates in the US of that symphonic tour. So you can imagine how amazed I was when I went, and I can't actually remember which of those different places it was, whether it was Discogs or eBay or Amazon. And copies of this EP, Yes Symphonic EP, were available. I couldn't believe my eyes. So what's on it is two songs, In the Presence of, that huge epic, and Don't Go, from the forthcoming, so it says on the back, from the forthcoming new studio album, Magnification. So this is a promo item, and Long Distance Runaround, which is a live version, I think even from the tour, so earlier in the tour, and they got this out to promote the album, and I couldn't believe my eyes. Now, on the back cover is one of the Bob Seska discarded or concept pieces of artwork they've used on there. And on the front is his amazing machine that he created and that he talked to us about in episode 354. So go back and listen to that. But so, Mark, is that something, that EP, is that something you've ever clapped eyes on?
No, I mean, I've heard about it through various, you know, articles and stuff like that. I think somebody might have mentioned it before. In fact, I'm trying to remember if on that Dreamtime documentary that came with the Symphonic DVD, if they might have showed it on there on the one of those merch tables,
yeah,
or if maybe he mentioned it.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember that they might have said something about doing something like that on there, but I had an awareness of it, but like you, I thought that this was an impossible item to get because I was aware that it was something that was only available during the tour. So I didn't catch that tour, unfortunately, so I wasn't able to get a hold of it.
Yeah, crazy. So I'm absolutely delighted that I've got a copy of that. Now, if you've got a copy of that, then do let us know. The last time I asked people if they had a copy of that, nobody came back and said they did. So I'm just blown away that I've managed to get a hold of that. And as I said at the beginning of this segment, this really is for the 5%ers, isn't it? So, yeah. And even more so, this penultimate item that I'm going to go through. I just don't know what to say about this one. So this one is the VH1 Classic, in association with VH1 Classic, the More Drama Tour Special Limited Edition CD. And it says on the back, not for resale. So this is the promo. It's still shrink-wrapped. It cost me very little money at all. And I'm flabbergasted. I really am. So on the front cover, we've got Howe, White and Squire in that black sort of off-center square thing. And it says the More Drama Tour Special Limited Edition CD. So on the back, we've got the songs that are on it. So The Sin, Cathedral of Love, White, Beyond the Sea of Lies, Steve Howe, Highly Strung, The Sin, Grounded, Steve Howe, The Chariot of Gold, and White, New Day. So this is what we spoke to Steve Nardelli about on episode 362. So from the back of this amazing EP, it says, tour to feature 3 Yes solo / side projects and special encore set. Fans pre-ordering tickets via selected radio websites will receive free compilation CD. So this is what I've got now. I'm absolutely amazed because this was just given away, as it says there. And someone must have a stock of these because this is not the last one available. So if you really want to get yourself a copy of that, then get in touch with me and I'll let you know exactly where I found it, just to keep a little air of mystery around it there. So that I'm just amazed. Again, is that something that you've come across?
No, I this is the first I've heard of it. I mean, obviously we know about the tour and, you know, the story behind it, but I had no idea that this actually came with the purchase of tickets. And this is what I find even more fascinating about this is that this was something that other artists started doing later on as well. Like Prince started doing this thing where if you bought tickets to his show, he would include his latest album with it, which people thought was so revolutionary and fantastic to do. But I mean, yes, once again, we're ahead of the curve in doing this before people started saying it's so fantastic and revolutionary. So I didn't know about it. And I think I'll be happy to send you an email for this secret information. Well, I'd love to get a hold of this.
It
as
really
well
isn't secret, but
it is a piece of history. So.
Well, it is. That's why I'm so delighted to have it. And interesting that you said that, you know, people took this idea on. And I suppose the ultimate end of that phase was those of us, and I suppose a very few people probably on the planet who haven't got a copy of that U2 album on their phones. That was slightly less less positive, I think, most people thought. But anyway, there we are. So the More Drama Tour Special Limited Edition CD. Can't believe it. I'm so happy. Anyway, on to the last one. Now, again, if you're a patron, you would have seen me going on about this, but I have some further information about this as well. This is a bizarre little CD called Live on Air. So, yes, Live on Air. And I love it because it's just hilarious. But again, hopefully you'll find it hilarious as well. So there was lots of discussion of this on Patreon. So it says on the back that this is a radio broadcast. No, it doesn't say radio. It says it was a live concert recorded in 1985. Oh, it does. For a local radio station, it says. A rare live document. Now, the funny thing about it is that it's full of anomalies, this packaging. So you might be able to start imagining where this concert comes from and what it is, etc. So the set list is very cut down. So it's not a full concert on that 90125 South American tour that they were doing in 1985. So it's got Leave It, Hold On, Changes. And then the fourth song, allegedly, is The Gates of Delirium. And as I said on the video, they didn't play The Gates of Delirium on that tour. And in fact, I did a little bit of research on this. And The Gates of Delirium was not played by Yes between 1976 and 2000. So that's clearly wrong. And then it goes on to Owner of a Lonely Heart, It Can Happen, City of Love, Astral Traveller, and Give Me Some Loving. Now, Astral Traveller wasn't played by Yes between 1971 and 2008. So clearly I had to listen to it today to see what on earth was going on. And on Patreon, who was it? ENNB suggested on Patreon that The Gates actually is just Soon, excerpt from Gates, and that possibly Astral Traveller is not actually Astral Traveller at all, but in fact Starship Trooper. So I gave it a bit of a listen, and it's actually a very enjoyable concert. It's not, unfortunately, a soundboard recording, and it does sound like it's been recorded from the radio, frankly, because the sound goes up and down, you know. And it's not brilliant sound, but it's a really good performance. Now, between two of the songs, John says, "Isn't it wonderful," or something like that, to be in Argentina. So that was another clue. So it's definitely in Argentina. And on Friday, February the 1st, 1985, which ForgottenYesterdays.com tells me is 33 years, 11 months and 9 days ago, they played in Buenos Aires. I think that's the capital, isn't it, of Argentina? Yes. And it was broadcast on TV. So I think what this CD is just a rip, essentially, of the audio from that TV broadcast. Okay. And exactly as ENNB pointed out, it is Soon, not Gates, and it is Starship Trooper and not Astral Traveller. But, you know, anyone can make that kind of a mistake. It's all about space, isn't it, in the end? Astral Travellers, hey. Starship Troopers.
Yeah, true Yes fans wouldn't have made that mistake.
Exactly, and they certainly wouldn't have made the other mistakes either. So, getting a bit long-winded here, but the other mistakes that I find hilarious are the back cover has a photograph of the band. But see if you can spot the mistake when I tell you who's in the photograph. So we've got Alan White, John Anderson, Chris Squire, Rick Wakeman, and Steve Howe, okay, in 1985. So that must have been the most secret gig ever performed by Yes, I think, if they had those characters on there. Anyway, on the front cover, we've got, in the background, you can just about see Chris Squire, and there's John Anderson next to him, and front view, live on air, Yes, with this inside the Roger Dean bubble logo, is Steve Howe. And perhaps the best, though, is inside the sleeve notes. Now, you know what this already, because I've already shared this with you, Mark, on the video, but inside is a full spread, so a full double spread picture of Yes, and centre stage there is a sort of montage picture, a combination of various different pictures. So centre stage is Chris Squire, looking rather older than he did in 1985, I think, and on the right is Alan White, and on the left is Steve Howe, and then underneath is the whole band again with Steve Howe. And on the right-hand side of the picture, Oliver Wakeman. And singing is Benoit David. So I thought that was a fantastic set of photographs to use. Now, subsequently, I have actually seen a couple of those photographs in use elsewhere. So what I'm imagining is that those are actually, you know, royalty-free stock photos of Yes that anybody can get and use. But as you say, no Yes fan would have made those mistakes. And so it's been a huge amount of fun to get hold of that and laugh. Oh, and the final thing about it is, I'll put these photographs on the show notes as well. If you put this CD in your car CD player, as I did, taking my daughter to and from school today, the way that they've done the... Now, you know about this because your CD works perfectly, Mark. So you know about adding the data into the CD tracks so that when you put it into a CD player nowadays, it shows you what the name of the song is. But they've got it completely wrong on this CD. So we actually have Yoda telling you what the tracks are. So we've got It Leave, On Hold, and Traveller Astral, which I think is absolutely brilliant. That was the icing on the cake for me to have that close in the car today. Just brilliant. So
titles we have.
Yes, exactly. So I've had some real fun with that. But I'm sure you could tell my enthusiasm for the other things that I got. And that's a really good recording, a really nice recording, and a nice sounding concert that they've got hold of there. But clearly the packaging leaves a little bit to be desired. So finally, we've come to the end of all those things that I've got. But actually, that's not true, because I've got a couple other things on the way. So I'll tell you about those when they arrive. So let us know what you've managed to get hold of most recently. Yes, and yes related. And let's have some fun having a look at yours as well. So send those along to show@yesmusicpodcast.com if you've got any photos you'd like to tell us about anything that you've received. But for the moment, Mark, thank you very much indeed.
You're very welcome, Kevin.
Hello, this is Patrick Moraz, and you are listening to the Yes Music Podcast.
Just before we go, here's the first patron update of 2019. There are now 61 patrons, so please bear with me. Also, if I make any mistakes, please do let me know, as it's getting more challenging all the time to keep track. The Yes Music Podcast producers are Jeffrey Cresselius, Preston Frazier, VR Hoisington, Bill Govier, and Wayne Hall. Yes Music Podcast patrons are Aaron Steelman, Scott Smith, Lobate Scarp, Bob Martellotta, Simon Barrow, Mark Zarkle Bags, Brian Sullivan, Sonic Bond, Mark James Lang, Chris Bandini, Steve Dill, Michael O'Connor, Craig Estenis, I hope that's how you pronounce it, Craig, let me know, Steve Rode, Miguel Falcao, Dave Owen, Steve Scott, Neil Caffrey, David Hayden, Stephen Raw, Paul Hales, David Pannell, Terence Sadler, Paul Tomei, Dave Watkinson, Tim Stannard, Paul Wilson, Dem, Todd Dudley, Peter Herndon, Fergus Cubbage, Walter Lynn Mosley, Rachel Hadaway, Steve Barringer, William Hayes, Robert Naser, Jeff Bailey, Guy DeRome, Scott Colombo, Jeffrey Mason, Henrik Antonsen, John Holden, Jamie McQuinn, Ian NB, John Parry, Jeremy North, Lind, John Thompson, Jim, Ken Fuller, Jost Maglev, John Cowan, Keith Hoisington, and Joseph Cottrell. Also continue thanks to both Robert and David. So there you are. Thank you very much indeed to all those patrons. If you'd like to join them in helping to support the show financially and have access to lots of exclusive content and activities, head over to patreon.com, patreon.com/yesmusicpodcast, or click the link on yesmusicpodcast.com. So that's just about all the time we have this week for our first episode of 2019. We will be back next week, we do hope. But in the meantime, please do get involved with the podcast at yesmusicpodcast.com or on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. So until next week, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.